Good evening, everyone.
Amen.
Are you glad to be here?
Amen.
Amen. I want to talk to you tonight a little bit about something that John wrote in the book of 1 John chapter 2. So turn there with me, if you would, 1 John chapter 2. Before we get started tonight, I want to tell a funny little story this afternoon. I was talking to Caden, and I said, Caden, you got to lay down and take a rest this afternoon because you got to be ready for church tonight because Grandmama and Granddaddy's coming to church tonight because Daddy's going to preach. And he looked at me and went, And I said, yeah, Dad's going to preach and Granddad and Grandmom's coming. He said, no, you're going to play the guitar. Brother Doug's going to preach. I thought, well, at least he knows who's where, right? Amen. Let's all stand tonight as we read 1 John chapter 2. We're going to read verses 3 through 6, and then further on we'll read some more passages of Scripture. But 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 through 6 says this, and by this we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. Whoever says, I know Him, but does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in Him. Whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which He walked. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, again, we thank You for the opportunity to be here tonight, a chance to come and to worship You, to read Your Word, to study about You and some of Your truths, and Father, to discuss this topic of abiding in You. Lord, put the speaker behind the cross. And Father, may my words convey Your truths and Your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Since I was born, I'm glad my mom and dad are here, by the way. Since I was born, I have been Paul Weatherford's son. It's profound, I know, right? Profound statement. Since I was born, I have been Paul Weatherford's son. I remember sitting in the pew, third pew from the front on the left-hand side at Lakeside Missionary Baptist Church when I was that age and then that age and that age. And I remember playing with my father's hands while the preacher was preaching and thinking about how big my daddy's hands were. And playing with his wedding ring and spinning it on his finger, I remember that. I remember some of my fondest memories as a young child were riding the tractor. We had a farm, and I would spend a lot of hours riding the tractor with Dad. I don't know how, but I learned to sleep on a tractor behind the seat, laying down on an old John Deere tractor while he was plowing the fields. I love being Paul Weatherford's son. I love being with my dad. I love my dad. But something happened as I became a teenager. Beth, you be quiet. As I became a teenager, I grew to be a very foolish young man. And my relationship with my dad got strained at times. My father actually expected me to do things that I didn't want to do. And I didn't think particularly made sense. But he didn't care. And he wanted me to do them. And our relationship, we butted heads a whole lot when I was 13 to 15 or 16 years old. That was my fault. The older I get, however, the more that I am told that I resemble my dad. Matter of fact, Brother Doug tonight came in and he said, he was talking to my mom and he looked at my dad and he said, Michael Paul looks like you. I don't know if everybody who says that think I actually look like my dad as much as they think perhaps I act like my dad. I don't know, maybe both. But each time someone says that to me, I count it as an honor that people think I resemble my dad. Since I was born, I have been Paul Weatherford's son. But the older that I get, and the more I have walked in his shoes, the stronger our relationship becomes, and the more I look like and resemble my dad. And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. I want to talk to you about relationships. Specifically, what it means to abide in Christ. In the book of 1 John, John uses the word abide some 14 or 15 times throughout this short book. But in chapter 2, he uses that word abide seven different times. And he's talking about, what does it mean to abide? He's talking about having intimacy with God. And he says in verse number 3, or excuse me, down in verse number 6, he says that to abide means we are to walk in the same way in which Christ walked. Now what does that mean? We are to walk in the way in which Christ walked. That means we are to live our lives in such a way that we follow the footsteps of Christ, that we resemble Jesus Christ. We resemble Him. We look like Christ. We are indeed a Christian, which means to look like Christ. We are a Christ follower. Down in verse 3, he said, he said, we know that we have come to know Christ if we keep His commandments. Now, to keep means to observe or to guard. It means not to throw them away. But we resemble Christ if we keep or follow or guard His commandments, if they mean something to us. Okay? If the commandments of Jesus mean something to us. Conversely, if we do not keep His commandments, but we say that we abide in Him, John says in verse 4, He calls you a liar. Now that's strong language from the apostle of love. Because everybody knows John says love, 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 love. Love one another, love everybody, love, love, love. But he says, if you say that you abide in Christ, but you do not follow the commandments of Christ, you are a liar. That is some strong, strong language. When Jesus was asked, so if we are to follow His commandments, what are those commandments that we are to follow? When Jesus was asked in Matthew 22 what the two greatest commandments were, He says, what? You are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. With all your heart, soul, and mind. That's right. That's the first commandment. And the second one is like it. You are to love your neighbor as yourself. You are to love your neighbor as yourself. So Jesus said that we are to love God and love people. So if we want to abide in Christ and we want to resemble Christ and we want to walk with Christ in an intimate relationship with God, then we need to love God with everything we've got and love people. That's very, very simple, right? But John writes in verse 9 and 10 of this chapter that if we say we abide in the light of God, but we hate our brother, then we walk in darkness and our eyes have been blinded. So to abide in Christ means to be intimate in your relationship with Christ. And if you're going to do that, that means you've got to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, why does it seem easier to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind than to love our neighbor? Very, very superficially, it's easy to say that we love God, right? You guys are all church on Sunday night. If I ask any of you, do you love Jesus? Amen, I love Jesus. Some of you might raise your hand when you said it. I don't know. But you'd say you love God. But if I said, do you love everybody in this church? You'd go, hey, you owe me. Why is it easier to say we love God than it is to say we love our brothers and sisters in Christ? Because Doug is with me all the time. I have to work with that man every day. He's got kind of some weird quirks, right, man? He's a little quirky. This is a little quirky. So, I love him, usually, a whole lot. I've known him for my whole life. But that's kind of how we are with our brothers and sisters in Christ. But that's why in 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, John said that if you claim to love God and hate your brother, he says again, you're a liar. Because how can you love God who you've not seen and not love your brother who's right there in front of you? He says you can't do it. You can't do it. So if you want to abide in Christ and you want to walk closely and intimately in fellowship with Jesus and with God, you got to work on loving one another. And we all need to work on loving one another. Some days it's easy and some days it just is not. But God expects His children to love one another. So if these are some ways that we can abide in Christ, following His commandments, loving God, loving our people, what are some things that can cause us to lose that closeness, that intimate fellowship with our God? Are there some things? Yes, there are. Look down in verse 15 through 17. And John writes this. He says, "Do not love the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, then the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever." There's a restaurant here in town that I went in one day, and I love reading signs in restaurants, and I saw this sign. It said this: "Love people and use things, don't love things and use people." Now, that's pretty good advice. I think it was in Whataburger, I'm not sure. But I saw that sign and I thought, that's pretty good. We are to love people and use things and not get those things messed up. Do Christians get caught up in this world and the things of this world? You bet we do. God has called us to abide and walk with Him, but we are prone to wander, as the old hymn puts it. We are prone to wander, and we are good. Frequently, we abide in the things of this world. We abide in our work and in seeking our fortune to be able to buy a larger house or a newer car or whatever. We will abide in our favorite sports team, especially when it's playoff time. I mean, we'll follow that thing. We'll check and see what the scores were, and if we miss that game, we'll DVR it, or we'll go back and watch all the highlight reels. We abide in that sports team. We abide in our favorite TV series or our children and our children's activities. We will abide in those things, the things of this world. But John says, he warns against that. He says, don't love the world, for if you love the world, the love of the Father is not found in you. Now, why does he say that? Because he says the things of the world are temporal. They're temporary. These things are going to pass away. And these things get in the way of us enjoying an intimate relationship with God our Father and Christ His Son. These things are temporary. Nobody in 100 years is going to care who won Super Bowl 52 or 3 or whatever. Nobody's going to care. Nobody's going to care if you made $25,000 or if you made $100,000 a year. They won't care. It won't matter. And nobody's going to care if little Sally or little Ben hit a home run when they were playing, you know, T-ball or you know, coach pitch baseball. Nobody's going to care. But we spend so much time and we focus so much energy in those things that are temporary and temporal, and we completely neglect our God and an intimate relationship with our God. Let me demonstrate that to you in this. You can live in the same house and be married and not abide in a loving relationship. You can legally belong to one another as husband and wife and not abide in a loving relationship. Amen? You can. Everybody's marriage has ups and downs. Everybody. Mine included. Everybody. And you can be married and live in the same house and dwell under the same roof and not abide in a loving relationship. Similarly, you can be a child of God and not walk in the fullness of your relationship with God either. Anybody can get married, but it takes work to be a good spouse and to love one another the right way. A 7-year-old child can ask Jesus Christ to save him and mean it and be saved like that. But a 7-year-old child has no clue what it means to abide in the love of the Father, because that child has not walked long enough to understand what it means to truly dedicate his life in full to God. And that's what John is writing about. He's writing here to save people. He's not writing here to prove that they're saved. These people are already saved. He wants them to take their relationship with Jesus Christ to the next level. He wants them to learn to abide, to thrive, to do something serious with their God. So if we desire to abide in Christ, that means we must walk in the steps of Jesus. It means we must keep His commandments. It means we must love God and love people, even when people are unlovely. It means we must guard our hearts against hate and the satanic influence that comes with it. It's easy to get sucked into that kind of stuff. I'm not talking about getting sucked into Satan worship. I'm talking about getting sucked in to hating someone. It happens very quickly. And you're not, it's not Satan worship, but when you're doing that, you're not worshiping God when you're hating your brother. You can't do it. We got to guard against that. And you got to beware the traps of the world and its influence. We have been studying in our Connect class for the last 3 or 4 or 5 weeks the book of 1 John. And Tony Evans, it's a short video series and a lot of discussion. And Tony Evans is the teacher. And Tony is really good at giving some very practical examples. And I love a couple examples that he gave a few weeks ago when we were talking about abiding. And I want to share those with you. Anybody here drink hot tea? Anybody? A few? You don't like it? Okay. Miss Lila doesn't like it. But some of you folks do. I love hot tea. I don't drink it very much. But some folks love hot tea. And Tony said this. He said there are two types of hot tea drinkers. He said there's the type that gets the hot water and pours it into the cup and gets that little tea bag and dips it and dips it and dips it and smashes it with the side of the spoon and swirls the string around the spoon and then twirls it, you know, and twirls it and twirls it and forces that tea to change. And then he said there's the other kind that just pours the hot water in there and gets that little tea bag and drops it in and lets it abide. It's a lot less work to do it that way. And what happens is you watch that tea, as that tea bag abides in the water, you watch that water just change in front of your eyes. It changes from water into tea because that bag is abiding in the teacup. And then the other example he gave was about dishes. And let's say that one of you wonderful cooks here in the congregation tonight bakes a casserole dish because you love my family and you want to bless us with a casserole. That would be fine. I have no problem with that. But if you baked a casserole dish, let's say you bake one and then you cook it in the oven at 400 and whatever degrees for however many minutes, and then you bring that thing out and it's popping hot and it's yummy and you eat the casserole, and then everybody's full and you really don't want to mess with the dishes, and so you let it sit there overnight. What happens to the inside of that dish when it just sits there overnight? There's that line of stuff around the top, right? It's really crusty and crunchy and hard. And he said there are two ways to get that stuff out of that dish. Number one is you can put it down in your soapy water and you can get one of them steel wool things. What do they call them pads? SOS pad. One of them things. And scrub that thing and work on it and put a whole lot of elbow grease. And you can make that thing come clean mostly if you work hard enough. And then there's the other kind, a way to do it, which is run you a sink full of hot soapy water and just place that dish in there and let it abide for a while. And what happens to that baked on crusty food? It begins to just kind of slip away. It begins to kind of slip away. And the extra stuff that's not supposed to be in that baking dish kind of slides off. And that's exactly what happens when we learn to abide in Christ. The longer we abide in Him, the stuff that is not supposed to be in the lives of a Christian, when you truly abide, it begins to let go and slip away, simply because we are abiding in the love and walking in the love of our Father. Those things begin to slip away because we are allowing Him to cleanse us. Similarly with that tea. We're changed like that tea because we are abiding in Him. There's a difference between being a Christian and abiding in Christ daily. This is a Sunday night crowd, so I would venture to say that 95 to 98% of people here know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and most of us have known Him for a very, very long time. But I wonder, does everyone here have some time every week where you abide in Christ? You purposefully abide in Him. You let go of the things of the world for a few moments or an hour, daily, weekly, however you can work it into your schedule, and you abide in Christ. You don't worry about work. You don't worry about the fight you had with your spouse or how ornery your kids have been yesterday or what's coming up later today. But you spend some time abiding in Christ and letting Him cleanse you and letting Him take away the cares and the thoughts of this world, because you are taking time abiding in Him. Do you do that? One of the greatest blessings in my life in the last several years has been learning to make time and abide in Christ in the morning, every morning. I'm not particularly a morning guy, but if I don't abide in Christ in the morning, it just ain't going to happen. I'll be honest with you. I'm not going to read my Bible at night and spend a lot of time in prayer at night, because at night I got a 3-year-old and 2 teenage boys. I'm tired, and I just lay down and go to sleep. So I have forced myself to set my clock earlier and earlier. And bless his little heart, Caden keeps getting up with me. I set my clock for 6:30 and he gets up. I push it back to 6 and he wants to get up and abide with Daddy. And I push it back to 5:45 now and I'm getting up to abide with the Lord. Lord, give me a half hour. I just want a half hour with You. That's good stuff. Reading God's Word, talking to my Daddy, and letting Him talk to me. I need that. And I'll let you in on a secret. You do too. Everybody here needs time where you just put everything else aside and you abide in Christ. If you feel cold in your faith, you feel like your walk with God has become stagnant, are you abiding with the Lord? I'd venture to say you're not. There's a sweet old woman in Mississippi. Wonderful lady, Miss McDaniel. And I think I may have told y'all about her the last sermon that I preached. But Miss McDaniel, two things that I always remember about Miss McDaniel. Number one, she had the softest hands of any human being I've ever met. I don't know what kind of lotion she used, but I need it. And number two, that woman abided with Jesus. She knew how to abide. You go to visit Miss McDaniel, and Jesus had His seat. Don't sit in Jesus' chair. Because that's where the Lord sat every day. And she'd talk with Him. And He'd talk back. Now, she wasn't crazy or nothing like that. She wasn't. But I'm telling you, that woman spent time with the Lord every day. And she was particular about spending time with her Lord. And that taught me something at a very young age. It taught me how important it is to abide with God. In chapter 2 verse 28, John writes this at the end of this chapter. He says, "And now, little children, abide in Him, so that when He appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from shame at His coming." Abiding is more than just knowing Christ. It's an experiential knowledge. It's an outpouring. It's the same expression that Jesus used in John 15 when He said, "If you abide in Me, and I'll abide in you, you will produce much fruit." Same expression, same word. Abide in Me and you will produce much fruit. And so the more we abide in Christ, the more we are changed from the inside out. The more we are changed, the weaker sin's grip on our life. If sin has overcome you and you cannot shake it, spend more time abiding in Christ and watch sin's grip lessen. And watch you receive strength from the power of God so that you can let go of that sin, which leads to us bearing much fruit. So my final question in closing tonight is, do you know Christ? I said earlier probably 98% of the people here are saved. Well, that means maybe there's 2% that's not. So maybe there's one or two folks here that have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have to start. You can't jump the gun and abide in Christ if you're not a child of God. So have you taken the time? Have you got on your knees? Have you prayed the prayer and asked Jesus to forgive you and to save you from your sin and to be your God? That young man who came and joined this church this morning, Corey Lemieux. I love Corey. Corey started visiting my class a couple, I don't know, maybe 4 weeks ago. And he and Rebecca, the young lady that was with him, if you don't know, they're engaged. They're getting married in May. And they wanted to join this church and get on the right foot. It took him a few weeks to get used to Brother Doug. He said he didn't really know about him. But he loved coming to Sunday school. Loved coming to Sunday school. And about 2 weeks ago on a Sunday night after church, Corey called me. He Facebook messaged me and he popped me. And he said, "You got time to talk?" Well, it was 9 o'clock. Matter of fact, I didn't have time to talk. I was fixing to put Caden in the bathtub and get ready for bed. But something said, talk to Corey Lemieux. Now, I didn't know Corey from anybody at that time. So I called Corey, and he and I had about an hour, hour and a half conversation. The young man was driving home from Rebecca's house. And Corey had made a profession of faith a long time ago, but he said he did it because his friends were doing it, and he thought it was cool. Corey was very upset, and he said he had missed the altar call that Sunday morning because God was convicting him. He was very upset, and he said, "I don't want to miss going to heaven." And so I asked Corey, I said, "Corey, do you feel like right now, if you died, do you know you would go to heaven?" He said, "I do not." And I said, "Do you want to fix that right now?" And he said, "You bet I do." And that dude pulled over to the side of the road on the phone with me. And I heard him pray a prayer. And he said, "God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Please save my soul. Please be my Lord." And just like that, he became a son of God. Have you done that? I don't care if you're 10 or if you're 50 and you're in this congregation. Have you done that? If not, why not tonight? But if you have done that, if you have prayed that prayer, are you abiding in Jesus Christ? Are you on a daily basis taking the time to spend some time with your Father? I have been Paul Weatherford's son since the day I was born. And I have been a son of God since I was 7 years old. But now at 43... I'm starting to resemble my daddy. And I pray that at 43, I'm starting to resemble my heavenly Father too. And I know if I do it all, it is strictly because I am choosing to abide with Jesus every day. Are you doing that? Start today spending time abiding in your Father. Would you all stand? Lord in heaven, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be here tonight. Father, I pray that these words that were written some 2,000 years ago by the Apostle of Love, Father, will sink into each of our hearts, Lord. I pray that this word, abide, will grab a hold of everyone here the way it has grabbed me in the last few weeks. And that, Lord, we would be convicted and convinced that we need to spend time with you and that, God, we would do it. Because we love you, because we want to look like you, and so that on the day of your coming, Lord, we would not shrink at your coming, but we would be ready to stand with you, because we know that you will be proud of us as your children. Lord, help us to walk more and more closely with Jesus every day. Help us to love you more, and in loving you more, to love other people, to forgive, to not be bound up in hate, Father, but to strengthen our brothers and sisters in Christ and to share your love with all those that we are around. Father, I pray for those that are in this congregation tonight. If there's one here tonight, Lord, that has never taken that time to pray that simple prayer, asking you to save them and forgive them of their sin, may tonight be that night. But Father, for those who have already done that, may tonight be the night where they draw a line in the sand and they say, "Lord, today I want to abide with you, and in the morning when I rise, I'm going to read your word and talk with you and let you speak your truth into my life." In Jesus' name.